You're with SBS Radio.
I'm doing a reading from my book, Me, Ant-Man and Fleabag, which was a 10-minute reading, Me, Ant-Man and Fleabag, and that was published in 2006, sort of something that's led on to lots of other work. Platform one is a it's created by disabled people who are artists, Hannah Cormick and Daniel Savage, and it comprises basically all kinds of performances from different artists that identify as having a disability. You know, everything from dancers to writers, to actors, comedians. You know, I think there may even be some burlesque, but I'm not sure. But anyway, as I said, I'm just one of the many, many performers that are going to be performing on the day. So yeah. I'd really urge people before the 27th to either look up the Platform One Facebook page or Google Platform One. Check out who's on and who they might actually want to go online and check out.
Platform One is designed to actually give a platform and a visibility to artists who identified as disabled.
It is. I'm hoping that by shining a light on artists with disabilities, that other people will be watching as well, and curators from other festivals will be watching as well, and be able to we'll be able to look at the artists and maybe think very seriously about inviting them or giving them space in their festivals, like the Sydney Festival. You know, Adelaide Arts Festivals, they'll be able to see exactly, what kind of work we're doing, how exciting it is, how creative, and not just think of us as artists. You know, our art maybe is as some form of therapy, but most of us, we actually make our living from our arts practice. So, I guess many of us have kept quiet about our disability because we thought perhaps it would impact on people hiring us, but it's becoming a different world now, and I think with the advent of online work, I mean, the COVID-19, the pandemic, has opened up all kinds of possibilities for people with a disability to actually engage in festivals and engage in various arts events.
This is, as you mentioned, is coming in a very particular time, a time where people are in lockdown and confined in their own little spaces. But that being confined as a disabled person, sometimes you're confined even without being in this period of a pandemic. You've experienced that yourself, being just restricted in your movements and whatever you could do.
With technology, I mean, things have changed a great deal.
Yeah.
With technology now, like, everybody's got, everyone who can has electric wheelchairs if they need them. There's all kinds of incredible assistive technology available in this day and age.
Yeah.
So people aren't as restricted as they once were. But, like with me, I have post-polio syndrome, and what happens is that sometimes I become incredibly fatigued and I just simply cannot, leave the house. With something like this, I've done a couple now of online performances. It means that I can be comfortable in my own home. I don't have to rush around in taxis or anything. I don't mind doing that. I mean, I actually like the live performance. I love, performing in front of an audience and getting feedback and meeting people. But this, you know, like if I am unwell, it means that I don't have to pull out of something. I can still do it. And that's the beauty of this this day and age and this online culture that seems to have developed really, really quickly over the over the course of the pandemic.
It's been around, but not really used to its full potential, actually.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, I'm amazed at exactly what's available out there.
Yeah.
It's incredible, you know, like, you know, I'm stunned by it all, and I'm still learning how to use it all, but, you know, like most people, you learn as you go along.
You'll be reading from your book, Ant-Man and Fleabag, but you've written dozens of books, published so many award-winning books, featured in festivals, and why particularly this one is the one that you chose to be part of this platform?
The other, like 10 of my other books are actually graphic novels.
Yeah.
Kids, and it's a bit hard to do a reading from a graphic novel, because graphic novels, as you know, like there might be a whole page where there's no dialogue whatsoever.
Yeah.
And the dialogue is very is very limited, because it's got to fit into the speech bubble. So, you know, while I have all those graphic novels published with Oxford University Press, they're not really conducive to doing readings.
Yeah.
And also, there are many different cultures and stories in the graphic novels. So, but this one is my first one, my very first book, and it's very specifically Aboriginal stories.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's an amusing book. And you know, so I thought it would be the one to read from. I mean, I have other stories that are online, you know, that have been published with online publication houses like Verity La. And I mean, I could have read from them, but they're a bit sort of heavy, and I wanted to read something lighthearted and funny, and you know, that's it's making a bit of a comment on society, not hitting you over the head with it.
We are in a time when actually it's almost all doom and gloom with the pandemic, and now race riots going on all over the world, and you think, wow, is this a world that's at an end phase of the world, or
it all seems, you know, it seems like madness at the moment. You know, like people dying left, right and centre, riot. It just, the world seems like it's gone mad.
Yeah.
And we're all, it's all gone mad for everyone all at the same time. So, I just thought something funny and lighthearted, but that makes it has a message. You can either find the message or not. You know, how you interpret it is entirely up to you.
Yeah. I can't help but ask you your view on what's going on now around the world, because you've written on Indigenous issues for magazines and publications all around the world. Now, tell us your view on what's going on now, the pandemic and the Black Lives Matter movement.
People need to not be quite so selfish and think of others, and not rush too quickly into mass gatherings, anymore. I mean, I think we need to take things slowly with the pandemic. You know, obviously everybody wants to get out, but we need to be really careful about how we approach it. And I was going to go out last week, you know, start going out last week. But then with the mass gatherings, I thought, well, no, I just can't risk it, you know. So that kind of put things back off for me.
Yeah.
But I understand that the Black Lives Matter, and I think a lot of people don't really get it. what it means.
Yeah.
They try and counter it with all lives matter. And of course they all lives matter, and that's the whole point of Black Lives Matter, because at the moment Black lives don't seem to matter. All lives won't matter while ever Black lives don't matter. And the kind of brutality that I mean, in America and even in Australia to an extent, white people don't have to worry about if they see a cop car. I mean, they might think, oh God, you know, did I get that tail light fixed, or is my license up to date? Why are they pulling me over? Or they might realise that they're drunk, and you know they're going to lose their license. But losing their license is probably the major thing that they're going to face. But in places like America, I mean, you see a cop following you, you could lose your life. You know, it's not a matter of just losing your license. And Aboriginal people, you know, are being thrown in jail and dying in custody for simply being drunk. I mean, the way that they're being treated, they're being treated like animals.
Yeah.
And a lot of these things have gone unnoticed and unchecked. Children being chased on push bikes and being that kid that was killed in WA. Barely anything happened to the perpetrator of that.
Yeah.
Like an Aboriginal woman calls the police on her partner who's beaten her senseless and thrown her out in the street naked. And, you know, somebody kindly puts a sheet around her, and things accelerate between her and the police instead of them, you know, going out and getting that the perpetrator out of the way. She's the one that ends up being taken into custody. You know, I mean, these kinds of things, I mean, that story is much, much worse, but
yeah.
I won't go into it here today. But,
yeah.
You know, like the way that, you know, a black parents worry every time the kids walk out the door because they don't know. You know, if they don't know what's going to happen, there's always an underlying fear for parents, for all of us when we go out into the world, and it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
And until Black Lives Matter, until Black Lives Matter, until First Nations lives matter, until any person of colour's lives matter, then we can't say all lives matter.
Yeah.
Because they don't at the moment.
Yeah.
And people seem to think that what this movement is about is that they're excluding that somehow white people's lives don't matter, and that's simply not true. And I just really wish that people would understand that. It becomes very frustrating.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.